Okay, good morning, everybody. In our pursuit for business ethic justice, one of the topics I'd like to discuss is something that obviously comes up this time of the year, and that is holiday parties. And the topic is not going to be only about holiday parties. It's going to be about the general rules when it comes to a person going out drinking, closing the deal. In my history as a business professional, I could vouch for the fact that many business deals are not done in the boardroom. Many business deals are done in the bar. They're done in more situations that are relaxing, ones where a person trusts another person. It's not all about price, it's about trust. And if you're doing a big deal, a lot of times they'll be closed in that type of location. And as the holiday season approaches for other holidays, not just ours, but certainly ours most importantly, is next week, of course, is Hanukkah, Ba'alein Latova. So we think about what actually Hanukkah is all about, and it is that distinction of the Jews and the other nations when it came to spirituality, when it came to who we are and what we are. As you know, the Greeks were tremendously wise in their decision to really try to make the Jewish people convert, make them, but not in a physical way, not making them do it in such a way where they would have to, you know, physically die, or they didn't say, hey, this doesn't make sense, hey, this doesn't make sense, hey, come on, you got to be more intellectual. And this is a challenge, and as we, you know, when I look around the room, except for one side of the room, but when I look around the room and I see how we dress and see that we look quite modern in who we are and what we are, so this will come up a lot because it wouldn't be a second nature. The person looked Hasidish and he happened to be working in the office. I once worked in a company where we had a Hasidish bells guy, and I'm not exaggerating at all. He sat next to, the cubicle next to him was a guy named Ahmed. And there were two guys. One was from, you know, East Jerusalem, and one was from East Jerusalem. Actually, both lived pretty close to each other, but different areas, if you will. And so nobody asked him out drinking, this guy, because he's got the long pants, and everybody knew that. But when you are wearing your Tommy Hilfiger sweater, and you know, you're so why would I... The only difference I really see with you is that you got that, you know, the beanie cap on, which I think is a little weird, but all right. So that becomes a question whether or not, you know, how we react to this. And obviously, holiday parties, in my opinion, are of two types. You know, one could argue three, but I'm going to say two for now. The one type, which is obviously totally unproblematic, and that is the holiday party where the kids are invited. Some companies do this. I've been fortunate that many of the holiday parties I've gone to, because I've worked for many Jewish companies, have been a family holiday party. So, for example, when I worked in Yerushalayim in Delta 3, I love Yerushalayim, they just went bankrupt in September, because I wasn't working there anymore. And so they used to have a holiday party. It was, you know, at 7 o'clock in the evening. You came with your kids. There was a clown there and whatever, and somebody putting, that was for the adults. And for the kids, they had thanks, guys. They had other types of activities. I'm gonna have a button or a press that's gonna say, you know, laugh track, so it goes on while you're talking. So I'm gonna have different ones, you know, clap, what, you know, and then I'll buzz a person, and he'd be like, "Well, Hartstein, that was such a good point." Anyway, make my mom happy. It's good. So it was a kids' party. There was kids, right? Maybe there was alcohol there, but obviously you know where it stood. The second type of party, which is obviously more common, is the holiday party that's going to be, you know, any time during this season, where there's rampant drinking, where it is quite well known that you do not invite your spouse to this, although some have that, but you don't invite your spouse to it. And the next morning, everybody's talking about, you know, who hooked up with who. Who went home, you know, all these different types of horrible things. And this is not just a broad stroke, oh, I heard it happen. It happens, Rabbi Isai, it happens. Yes, that second type of party that I just mentioned sometimes is a nice thing, and they do. That's true. The reason why I bring this up as well, obviously the parshas that we're in, and specifically this week's parsha, this is the parsha that Yosef is sent to Golos. And Golos starts in this parsha. There are many Mefarshim who say, you know, Yosef is our tradition, that he's the connection that we have to him going to Golos. And in fact, some Mefarshim say that that is what Yaakov realized. The reason why he was the favorite is because he knew that he would be able to accomplish the most going into Golos. Those of you who for some reason are not good people and didn't come to Lessons from the Lave. So Lessons from the Lave, we focused on the fact that he had the spirituality, and that's something that you have to keep. So that spiritual side, you know, plays a role. The other reason that I gave this is because I have my own conflict, which maybe at the end of this year we could figure out together, and that is I have a holiday party coming up. The company that I work for is going to be having a holiday party on, I think, January 3rd, which I'll be attending. Now, the holiday party is quite interesting because you're going to tell me this is not an Usher holiday party, but keep it in mind as we go through the sources. Here's the source of the holiday party. The holiday party will be in a shul, okay, not the, you know, in the social hall of the shul, okay. The company's owned by Jews, obviously, and the food's going to be quite kosher because it's coming from the kosher catering hall, which we happen to own. And however, the majority of our employees, okay, keep all this in mind, I don't know, some 45 employees are not Jewish, okay. They'll be coming with their spouses who are also not Jewish, so the majority of people will be not Jewish at the party. There will be a lot of alcohol because these people would not come to the party if there was just apple juice. And I would. If there was Coke Zero, that'd be great. And there'll be, you know, great food, but they'll be drinking, and drinking leads to things. Okay, maybe there'll be some things that I'm not so happy about, like a karaoke machine, which I don't understand. You know, I'll be, you know, okay, that's a different halach question we could ask. But the question is, do you belong at a party like that? Because who knows what could happen in such a party. So I want to discuss two distinct issues potentially, and both of them you might have never heard before. So if anything else, I'm going to open your minds to some new things that you may not have read. And that's what's so beautiful about halacha, is that you'll start to learn things you might have never known before, which is wonderful. Do you need a sheet, young man?
Yes, please.
Okay, there's no reason to scream. I can hear you the same way. Okay? Thank you. What is that, though? What is that?
It's called Zoo York. Company. It's kind of like African people
wear. Go Wayu Torah. Okay, so here we go. Okay, I'm sorry I asked. So, the two distinct issues that we'll discuss in this year is going to be the second half is going to be something called Mesivas Akum, something you might have never heard of before, which the Rambam speaks about based on the Isser in the Gemara in Chulin of going to a non-Jewish wedding. Can you go to a non-Jewish party? The first issue, though, that we'll discuss is something called Shechar Akum. And we'll see in a moment, it's not about drinking the beer of them, but the actual bar that the beer is served in. Let's see. Gemara tells in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. Itmar, Mipnei Ma Osru Shechar Shel Avod Kachavim. Why is beer of non-Jewish people Asr? Okay. Beer. Rabbi Baruch Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Mishum Chasnas. You should know this term because it is used. Where is Chasnas used? Why are we concerned about Chasnas? Anyone? I'll reiterate the question. What other Isurim do we have? What other Gedarim? What other prohibitions do we have? It is because of Chasnas. Says the young man, right? It is because of, right? Pas Akum is an example. Excellent. Pas Akum, the bread of the non-Jew. We are the staple of life is bread, and therefore, when a person, and in many locales used to be, that bread was made by a bakery. The bakery was not always owned by Jews. So what do you do now? So the best thing to do is, as our wonderful Heter, is to light the fire, is to be involved somewhere. The Gemara, I think, tells a story. One of the rabbis would throw in, he would light his cigar, or whatever it was, and he would throw in just the actual match that was already burnt, and it would add to the fire. There are a lot of heterim here, not for now, but Pas Akum is one that is true. However, there is a heter to that, just so you know on the books. It's called Pas Palter, that if it's a factory made, for example, you will never find Mr. Entman, right? Partly because it's a fake name, it's made up. No, I don't know. Right? And you will never find Mr. Oreo, right? You will never find Mr. Nabisco. Whatever. So we're not worried that you're going to love the bread so much and then marry his daughter because you're going to, right? So Pas Palter is a heter that's on the books. There are people who are machmir here in the land of Israel. Baruch Hashem, we are machmir, and you will not find any products that are made that are not Pas Yisrael, besides the fact that most of the bakers, of course, are Jewish here in Israel. But that is an Isser. And in fact, I know this is hard to believe, but if you guys were ever in the Old City, if you weren't, that would be weird. But if you're in the Old City by the bakery over there, where that new pretzel place is that's going to last for like 2 minutes. You know, there's Cardo Pizza. You know what I'm talking about? That shveel over there. There's a bunch of Arab bakers there. I don't know if you've ever gone. Have you ever seen that? It's one very, very weak point in my life because I always see it and I'm like, oh my God, their bread looks so good. They make these really interesting breads. For about, I would say, 6 months, one of those bakeries had a hashgacha on it. The Rabbanut HaRashid gave them a hashgacha, and it was like pretty remarkable. I don't know what was going on there. It was the Rabbanut HaRashid of the Palestinian Authority, Rabbi Mahmoud Abbas, and I don't know, you know. So obviously the challenge is that it'd be in accordance with our halacha, they had to light the fire. In fact, that's probably not even past palter because the baker's right there, right? There's the oven there, and the guy's baking it, right? That's past, past palter would be. So I don't know what happened exactly, but I think there was a big of an uproar. Like, this is not the right thing. We shouldn't be having bread with. I don't know. And all of a sudden, you didn't see it anymore. Okay, that's one example. Is Pas Yisrael. What's another one? Thank you, Bishul Akum. Excellent. The same idea. Those Sfardim amongst us have a little bit more of a hard time here. Who's Sfardi here? Anyone? No. Really. Anybody out without blonde hair is Sfardi? But you really is Sfardi? Really? Okay. So the Sfardim have a little bit more of a hard time. The Ashkenazim, as we spoke about, the heter for Pas Yisrael. So Bishul Akum is the same thing. They just have to turn on the oven, be involved in the in the cooking process in some way. This comes up, by the way, a lot. It's not today's shiur, although I think during the year we'll have another shiur about this. This comes up a lot in your homes. You might have a cleaning lady who might be more of a, I don't know, what's a proper term, housekeeper, whatever it is, and she makes dinner every night.
Nanny.
The nanny, thank you. So she makes you dinner every night. And how does she make dinner then? Who's turning, right? So in some houses, obviously, they're turning on the oven. There used to be in the olden days something called the pilot light. They don't make this in ovens anymore because they're dangerous. So this is a big question. How is she allowed to cook for you if you're not involved in the process? It's not a big question, it's usher. The Sfardim are super machmir. They say, what are you talking about? You're just going to turn on the fire? That's not good enough. You literally have to, like, put the thing in the oven. You have to be involved, really, in the cooking process. This creates a problem in many restaurants, even in Israel. If it's not mahadran, how exactly that's done? Here in Israel, any mahadran hashkacha will be machmir, that everything will be bishul Yisrael in accordance with the highest standard. First of all, you hardly ever, in a mahadran restaurant, have any non-Jews cooking at all. It's just something that's not done. It's almost like they get upset. I like to call restaurants before and ask, you know, what their standards are, and they'll be like, "And do you have any non-Jews cooking in the back of you?" And the guy's totally not religious, and he's like, "Don't you know halacha, man? Like, you know, come on." Okay, so that's one other. I'm looking for one other one besides good Pas Yisrael, Bishul Yisrael. One, yeah, Yain Mavush, Yain Nesach, the wine. This is a huge, huge, important halacha. Which, I don't know, I'm told in certain locales they don't follow, and they say, oh, wine is wine, you could just have it, it doesn't even need hashgacha. First of all, wine needs hashgacha today. It is made a lot differently than you ever knew, as far as the additives, not like at the times of the Gemara, the enzymes and all these different things. I once had the great fortune of going on a tour of a yekev, not so far from here, like I could take you guys one time, in Koresh. There is one. No, I'm kidding. The last day of Rav Hartstein. So after the last day of Rav Hartstein. So there he explained how, and it was very fascinating, how wine is made. So that is, and all of this is Mishum Chasnas. The Yayin might also be because we're afraid of Avodah Zarah, because of worshipping, and there's a lot of stories there where even today that potentially could come up. So along those lines, the Rav Chama says that, Rami Bar Rav Chama says, it could be chasnas, for sure. Because, obviously, think about it. If a person is drinking together, so now it happens to be this new thing we invented called beer, or this thing called whiskey, or whatever it is. So obviously, you're going to get drunk the same way you're going to get drunk on wine. We're worried about that. Says Rav Nachman, a different iser, which you might never heard of, so it's a good time to listen to it. And that is called Giloy. Anybody ever hear Giloy? You know what Giloy is? Giloy is an iser, according to Halacha, that a person is not allowed to leave a beverage overnight uncovered.
Oh, the snake might go in there.
Right. Very good. So the snake might go into it. The Rambam, Shmiras HaNefesh, Perek Yud Aleph, speaks of Allah Yishtamayim Megulim, Shema Shasal Nachash. Maybe the snake overnight went into it, the venom is there, and you're going to die. Now, obviously, in the case of the Goy, The beer is left overnight. He doesn't know anything about Gila. He doesn't follow those halachas. So we potentially would be worried that it's going to be something that could have the venom in it. The Beis Yosef writes, and the Beis Yosef quotes the Mishnah and Trumas, the Gemara and Chulin, and gives us reason and says, Meforish, it should be Aser. The Rambam, however, writes in Avodah Zarah, I'm sorry, the Tosfos writes in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Bet, I believe, to Ein Lachush Mishum Giloy, don't worry about Giloy today. Anybody want to give a reason why we shouldn't worry about it? Thank you. So the Tosfos, you saw the Tosfos, yeah? So the Tosfos says, Mishum She'ein Lachushim Mitzuyim Beineinu. There's no, it's not around anymore, right? We don't live in, Nigeria or in Mozambique, where, okay, there's potential. And especially in our homes, I know, you saw the YouTube video, the guy sitting on the toilet and the snake comes and, okay, fine. But that's not a normal thing that happens, a snake go in people's houses. It's true, by the way. Here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, every so often you'll hear about a story about a snake. In fact, in front of the Gan, this was not a tactic to get them to move. There used to be a lot of shrubbery, and they once found a snake inside. Now, of course, only the Yeshiva Leva Torah students were scared. All the little kids, 3 years old, were like, hey, come on, let's play with it. It's so cute, you know? And we were like, ah, it's a snake, you know? Especially you guys here. Thank you. Don't get it. Whoa, put down the knife. So, fine. So, the Shulchan Aruch also writes that we're makel today, but the Piskei Tshuva says, Shoma Nefesh Yirchak Mazeh. Piskei Tshuva writes that a person who wants to care about his soul should be careful about this. Who knows? And it is quoted that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, was machmir about this, and the Chazon Ish. So there's a sefer that was written. It's kind of a funny story. There's a sefer written. I apologize. I forgot the name, but it's downstairs in the Beis Medrash. If you go into Rav Siv's classroom, you can take one if you want. It's in the back of Rav Siv's classroom. There's a bunch of them. It's on the Parsha. It's halacha on the Parsha. It's only on Bereishis. It was apparently the Rav Boaz's friend who wrote it. Obviously, Rav Boaz did not read the book before. He has a lot of interesting chumras. One section in particular, I believe, on last week's Parsha, or 2 weeks ago Parsha, I should say, was about covering your hair and why shetels are totally usher. I don't know if Rav Boaz saw that one. And then this one he gives last week on Giloy, he says, yeah, of course it's usher. We should really be machmer. Even though I just quoted you all the sources that say, because the Gra said, and the Chazon Ish, they tell a story that he just went away for a few minutes. It wasn't overnight. He just went away for a few minutes. And he says, oh, now I can't drink it. Okay, there are people that are machmir. Some people say it's specifically in Eretz Yisrael because there are snakes, whatever it is. So Giloy, obviously, if that was the reason, we wouldn't really care, right? Because that doesn't apply today. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara gives different cases that we're afraid. Bishlomo, Chamer Mishum, Shiitzama. So how are we going to go ahead and allow it? And I understand, again, just history-wise. History-wise, wine played a huge role in the life of a human being, especially if you lived in France, because nobody drank the water there. Right? The little babies in their bottles, they're drinking wine. Okay? Yeah, it'd be nice. Move to France. So why was that? That was the drink of the land. Right? That's all they had. They didn't have soda, and they didn't have apple juice and orange juice. They had water, and wine became very, very popular. The Rashi over here, commenting, says, what is, as I just said, Chama Mishum Sheyimsa, Chashad Yayin Nesach. Why shouldn't the same Isser apply of Yayin Nesach? Tosos writes, Mibnei Ma Asru Sheikhar, source number 3, Isser Sheikhar Lo Matzino, Lo Ba Mishnah, Lo Ba Brisa, Vishmami Bimei Hamorem Asru. So he points out maybe something historical, or maybe not, I'll tell you in a moment, right? Apparently Tosos is saying, where did this come from? All of a sudden, Gemara Avodah Zarah invents this new Isser? So one could say, Tosfos just being historical and saying they didn't have beer, right? As you guys know, I mean, you don't know, of course, but the beer industry is huge these days. Here in Israel, I think there's some actual statistic on this, that we have per capita the most amount of beer production. I don't know, there's a tremendous amount. In fact, the former chef in the yeshiva, Chaim, has a beer company called Jim. So a few years ago, yes. Excellent. So, thank you. You're on YU Torah now. So he started this company called Ginger. He makes beer. They're all types, ciders and things like that. So Tosfos might be just be saying that that's like a new thing now. Like we didn't have this before, and now we have it. Or he's saying, where did this come from? I don't understand. All of a sudden, we're making up new Asurim here. We don't have enough Asurim. I don't know. The Ramban points out source number 4 here. The Frenchies, He writes, Matzati b'shecha rishonim lo asruhu miolam. Nobody said that this was asr. Okay, source number four. Aval achronim nagu chashash chasnas. The niran, because of this new iser, this is bolded, shemibnei ze mekilim bein shalom ne'asar b'beister. Because there was no really codified halacha that this is asr, all of a sudden this gemara showed up one day, he doesn't think it's so bad. And therefore in France they weren't so machmir on this. Very interesting. Now we're going to see the historical debate on this. Comes along the Rush in source number 5 and says the following. Mikol makam lo ichmir bo kolkach. We're not so machmir on this. Kamo alapas ki alapas yichei adam. And therefore you should be careful because it's such a staple that if we start eating bread from the person who just baked it, it might lead us to something. V'yira, she'ein iser el bishokeya atzmo l'shtos v'beis avod kochavim. What's the iser, guys? If you're koveya. There used to be a show on TV called Cheers. You might have seen it on reruns in on what's that channel called? What?
Not the channel. The
what? Yeah, whatever. Okay, Nick at Night, I don't know. So,
Nickelodeon.
You can't say Nick, thank you. So, thanks for correcting me. And there's a gentleman there named Norm. And when Norm walks into the bar, everybody says, Norm! That's the Russian Shakovei Atma. You walk in, everybody knows your name. I believe that's the song. Everybody knows your name. That's Kovei Atma. You go to a bar all the time, and you walk in, and like, hey, Shlomi, how you doing, man? You want your regular? That's wrong, says the Rush. Once in a blue moon, he's closing a business deal, and he's going in, he's having a holiday party in a bar, and it's once, you're never going to go to this place again, says the Rush, we're not machmer. Even though there's a whole Gemara that speaks about chasnus, he says, no, we have to define this. This was a new thing, and we can't go ahead and say that it's aser. Okay? Good? What's the halach? Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, there's a very important distinction here. Yuridea, Simon Kuf Yudalit, Kol Shechar Shel Kutim, Ach Shechar Shel Tamarim, O Shel Tineinim. They're all different types of beers, right? And now it's like amazing because when this first was probably written, people were like, what? People make beer out of other things besides barley? No, they make it out of wheat. They make it out of, right, dates and figs. Shel Tavua, Shel Devash, Osir Mishum Chasnus. It's not also to buy it. Again, guys, I didn't give this important point here. This is all assuming that all the ingredients are kosher. There is a question in halacha, to beers need a hashgacha. Okay? Until about, I would say maybe even 15 years ago, there was no such thing as a kashrus agency that gave hashgacha on beer, except for Coors Light. Coors Light came out, the OU was a big controversy because people thought that it was inappropriate for them to give it on a beer. I'm not sure why. And OU did something interesting where they said, now that we gave the OU on beer, all the beers are aser. Okay? And then you went the next week to the Chabad for Bregen, or you went to Yad Kislev, or you went to whatever Hasidus, and they all have Budweiser and Miller and all the different types of beers, and they didn't listen to the OU. Many people say that there's no kashrus regulation needed. I asked the brewer, my dear friend Chaim, about this, and he felt that yes. In Israel, obviously, they all have hashgachas. There is a process that you could put in nowadays. Again, especially with all these type of beers that have sugar in and different additives. He says, of course you can add things that aren't kosher. And in fact, he told me, he couldn't believe this. I think he said he went on some sort of tour in the United States and he went to this beer place and they were going to show him how they make the special beer. And he couldn't believe it. They actually put in, I think he said something like something from a pig or something. Something like that. And he's like, he couldn't believe it. Some like little... These little companies, they do very well now. It used to be like, in my day, when I was a big drinker, you had Budweiser, you had Molson, you had all these different things. Now, you go on there's like a gazillion different beers. It's unbelievable. There's one, I don't know if you guys ever went, there's a place called, it's right on 38, right off 38.
Yeah.
What's it called? No, you know what I'm talking about? There's a place there. Booster or something like
that's
that.
Showman.
Right. Lolino, yeah. So it's interesting. So he said, assuming that it's kosher, you can buy it, just don't be koveya atzmo to go there. Shema Yisod Etzlo, because the bottom line is you don't want to have the drink together thing. Velo Asru Elokishikovei Atzmo, exactly what the Rush said. But you're going there once in a while, or you're in an inn, right? This used to be very common when people would travel by horse and buggy. And you stop in the, you're going on a three-day tour, and now it's the first, you stop in some inn, and you die, you're so hungry. You could have this, you could have that, I'm not sure, but what do you have? You have a little bit of a drink. So that's mutter. Says the Ramah, in the name of the Mordechai, the Tosfos, v'chulu, v'yesh matirim b'sheikha shal tvash and tvua. Maybe some types of beer are mutter, because they don't lead to that. V'chei nogu l'hakim, you don't say no. So really the Ramah kind of leaves it like, you know what, it's not really the biggest iser. But what appears to still be an iser, guys, is the fact that you're drinking together. Now, and it probably doesn't matter as much that whether it's wine, it's not wine. Again, they can take out the most kosher meal in the world. Let's not forget the beginning of Megillas Esther, where they're all sitting at a meal, having mahadrim and a mahadrim badatz of Shushan. Right? The best food ever. And what is the Suda commemorating? The beginning of the Megillah. What's that Suda that Vashti comes out in? The destruction of the base of English, and it won't be rebuilt because he miscalculated the time. And the Jews are sitting there eating. You was Mahadrim and a Mahadrin. What are you doing? How can you be sit there? So along those same lines, whether it's kosher wine or not, or the beer is kosher, or the cocktail's kosher, maybe we don't belong in such a place if it's something that's kovei atzma. So I want you to keep that in mind. The Bach, of course, commentary on the tour, points out that even according to the Beis Yosef, here where we quoted the Shulchan Aruch, a person should be machmir. And listen to what he writes, because I think this is a key point. Listen to his words. Lo ra'inu, something like that. I just copied it. L'rabosenu shemachu bahem. I don't see any rabbis who told people, what are you doing going to bars? You don't belong there. Mutov shehiyeh shogegim v'yal yiyu mezidim. Says the Bach, I rather them do this isser without knowing, because you guys didn't know about this until I told you about it, than doing it on purpose. What do I mean? So we have sometimes a situation, right? This is the most common, I think, is the Eruv. The Eruv is down in your community. The rabbi doesn't get up and say anything. It's raining, it's windy, and the rabbi's afraid that if he makes the announcement, I just found out there was a car accident, whatever, or the wind blew down the Eruv, nobody's allowed to carry anything home. Some people in the shul will say, I don't care. Doesn't, what? You can't drive either. What?
Can you carry your child?
Oh, so that's a chayin loisei atzmo, depends how old the child is. Right, so one of the reasons is that how's the kid going to get home? What are you going to do? You're right. Now, the question becomes, do we have this sometimes? Does a Rebbe go to a student sometimes and say, you know what? I better not say anything to him because I know he's not going to follow me anyway. And that's going to create more problems than not. This is a questionable question. And here, I'm just admitting, here the Bach writes, he's like, people didn't say anything because they know people are going to go to bars all the time. It's a little sad reality if that's really true. But nonetheless, that is what's written here. The second part of this is the parties. The actual issue of going to parties. So before I start to quote that, I quoted here in source number 7, a sefer, Shelos Teshuva, is called the Chever Nachla So. Nachla To is the way he would like to pronounce it. And here in Yeridea, Chelik Tes, Simon Chav Zayin, this is Rav Yaakov Epstein, who's one of the heads of the Machon Torah V'Aretz. He's a student of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. He actually, I think, is the editor of Rav Ariel's Shelos Teshuvos, the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, and a prolific, wonderful writer. And he writes the following thing, and this is a much longer tshuva, but he writes, Udvarav, because in our time, Ma'atim l'doreinu, aval klal einam tumin l'naseh b'doreinu, v'meish tias yayin einam nufutzav v'mashkel chavrati. It's very funny. He said, if you were to take a poll today, and you were to go to your local party, okay, let's go to your frat party, in your university going to next year, obviously 2 years after Shavuot.
Yeah, Alpha Beta.
Right? Alpha Beta, thank Alpha. You. I'm surprised. Okay, that's it. I don't think you'll know the next one. And he went down. So, right? Most of those parties, guess what? They're not serving wine. Wine's not the, right? Nobody's taking out the, what are they doing? They're serving beer, the kegs, they're serving God knows what, mixed drinks. And then he writes, "Umeyhem umishum chasnus v'shartamin." The whole reason why chasnus came up, we're afraid you're going to drink together with the non-Jewish people, and then you're going to marry them, was because wine was the thing that people were drinking. He says today they're not drinking wine. People are going to parties. Wine's the last thing that they're thinking about. It's too expensive, or it's not kosher. So they're having the Jack Daniels, and they're having rum and coke, and they're having all these things. They're getting drunk. V'shartamin hitiru shtaim shusko v'domim v'ra kosru. He says, yeah, at times where it wasn't so common and here and there people were doing it, but now beer is more of the drink of the land than wine is. The Ula Bedoreno nowadays, for sure, he writes, these types of drinks, mashkod, elu nufotsim b'chola olam b'yameinu, that is the drink of the time, and therefore, sure, it should be usher. Besides the fact some are made with yain nesel, some of them have wine in it. Uma mitzad chasnas daf chashash b'shtiyas shecher. I'm even more worried nowadays of cocktails and all these different things because that's what I'm dafka drinking together with the group of people that I'm with and happens to be a non-Jewish person there, and maybe it will lead to chasnas. And therefore, he thinks that that is a very big problem today, and people should stay away from these type of parties. What is this based on? So, if you now turn to the other side, thank you so much for doing that. We will find the Rambam in Hilchos Malachos Asuras. The Rambam writes here, and before I get to the Rambam, I just want to give you the background. There is a Rambam a little bit earlier that writes the following. In Perek Tes, he writes, Avoid Kachavim Sha'asal Lebino Mishteh Aser Lahanos Misuda Zu. You're not allowed to get Hana. You're not supposed to go to a non-Jewish wedding. Why? There was just a question last week. Rav Avinair, I think, or one of those Shalos Tshuva's quick answers. Rav Avinair or Rav Shmuel Elio, where he says, my father wants me to go to my cousin's wedding in Amsterdam, and he's marrying a guy. Can I go? So, of course, it must be Rav Avinair, and only his way. He's like, number one, not Levi Yisrael, because that's not a good enough reason to leave. And number two, he's marrying a guy. You can't go to that wedding. So I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about a guy in your office is getting married. And he says, can you come to my wedding? So first he's like, well, it's a church. There's a different machlik. I'm not going to go. He says, no. The church thing is like one, you know, the way Christian went in. The church is like one thing. And then there's a party. Comes to the after party. And he says, don't worry. We're going to have a table of kosher food. So really the Shulchan Aruch, I'm sorry, really the Rambam is against this. And in fact, he quotes a pasuk, the achalta mivizvacho. It's actually two sets of pasukim. That this is in Shemos Lamed Dalet in Parshas Kisisa, where it talks about we have to be moved on. We have to not intermarry. We're different than the other nations. And what will happen? You'll eat from his mizbacho, literally from his mizbeach, where he does stuff. And umenoseinu zanu, and then your children will still marry. You'll be so friendly with him, and you won't care. And if we think that this is a joke, you know how high the intermarriage rates are. And in fact, I saw some new numbers where they say that 50% number is way off now. It's much, much higher than that. So very, very sad reality. And therefore, says the Rambam, you can't go to their parties. Of course not. And then the Rambam says here in source number A, Ketzad lo yishteh adam v'misivas akum. What does that mean, that you shouldn't drink at a party of a guy? V'afal pishu yayin mevushal. I don't care if it's got all the hachshas on it, and it's a mahajim and a mahajim. Don't go there and drink. Oshaya shoseh. Right? Mikhail of Levado, he's bringing his own food. He's got his own little flask. You know what I'm talking about, guys. He's got your own little flask. The im hayarov hamasiba yisrael mutter. He said, but if the party is all Jewish, or most of the people are Jewish, then it's mutter. So if your alpha, beta, gamma is Jewish, it's a Jewish frat, as bad as I think that is, you're not over the Rambas masibas shalgayim. Now this is a funny thing. And that is that what about, let me ask you a question. We just said about the bars, so that means that you can't go into a bar. Is that considered to be a party or not? Rabbi Willick, I think he was trying to be funny, but I think this is a little funny. There is a very popular dating place in the Haredi world, in, I don't know, at least the way it used to be in my day, back in my day. So when you went on a date, you took the girl out for dinner or something like that. The Haredi world, they don't do that. They just go out for drinks. Right, they'll go to, I don't know if you ever saw this, you ever been to a hotel in Yerushalayim, you go to the hotel, and I always wondered, who's going to buy a 25 shekel, you know, bottle of zero? The Haredim. They go out, and that's where they meet. So, one popular place on Thursday nights is the Marriott Marquis in New York. They have the, I think if I'm not mistaken, right, on a certain floor, it goes around in a circle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
yeah, it's cool. So Rabbi Willard said, how can you go there? It's a bar. It's okay, it's a bar. People order a Coke, whatever. They don't care. He says, but on Thursday nights, it's mutter. Why? Because there are mostly Jews there. It's true, right? All the dates go out, all the Haredi dates. He said, that's mutter. But that's what the Rambam writes. So it depends on the type of party. Aval, im hevia shecher lebeito, we said that's mutter. So you see the Rambam here is actually combining these two asurim. He's adding the Mesivas Akum, which is actually a Mefurish Gemara in Avodah Zarah, based on the Pasuk that I told you. It quotes that Pasuk, the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, Avodah Zarah, davches, the people in Chutz Laretz, they don't even know the bad things that they're doing. This is not an Aliyah speech that he's giving, but thinking. Forget about the spiritual nations, they're not. But he says, you have all the non-Jewish nations there, it's so hard. And you're starting to go to their parties and you're going to get invited there. He says, I'm very worried about this. So he combined that with the halacha that we saw in our Gemara, which talks about what? Which talks about having the going to the bars. So the Rambam seems to be very, very machmir on this. There's a shel sechus called the Mishnah Halachas. The Mishnah Halachas are of Menashe Klein. He only passed away a few years ago. He was a very, very amazing individual. He survived the Holocaust. He was chavrusas with Elie Wiesel before the Holocaust. They were very close friends. They met a number of times. Where Menashe Klein lived in Brooklyn, and they was that a sentence here? You're not an Elie Wiesel friend. So he writes as follows. He has this whole thing where he writes there are two asurim over here. There's an isur of avodah zarah maybe, and an isur of chasnus, and the Rambam over here. So this makes a lot of sense because it could lead to both, right? So you say, okay, they're avodah zarah, they only use wine. But he's bothered by this as well. And he compares it to the Rambam, says that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that speaks about Chizkiyahu, how he went off the derech, and it was all through wine. So it's interesting to note, and I want to be intellectually honest, the Shulchan Aruch in Kufnun Beis talks about this issue of going to the wedding, but the Taz is Mako. The Taz, the commentator in the Shulchan Aruch, writes, well, wait a minute. Sometimes you have a situation where we call Mishum Eva. Eva means they're going to persecute us, they're going to hate us. Right? Typical example, it's Shabbos, somebody comes over your house, your neighbor, Vinny, and Vinny's like, hey, will you, what? He goes, I'm dying over here, I think I'm having a heart attack, can you call the ambulance? And you said, no, Vinny, I can't, it's Shabbos. He's like, what do you mean? I thought, no, Pekuach Nefesh is only for Jews on Shabbos. Bye, Vinny. You know, of course you can't do that. Of course you pick up the phone and we take care of it. Mishum Eva. Why? The next time when you're having the same heart attack, Vinny's like, hey, sorry, forget about it, I can't take care of you. Right? So the Taz argues that maybe Mishum Eva, this would be allowed. Now, obviously, we're talking about the party you're invited to. It's somebody's wedding. And they're going to notice that you're not there. I'm not talking about if it's in a church. That's not a kula. So maybe there's a heter over there in that case. Very, very interesting. Very interesting in my humble opinion. However, to be more intellectually honest, many are against this. The Shach, the Drisha, actually the Drisha quote, the Shach quotes the Prisha and says, I misspoke. The Taz is Machmir, and the Taz writes, the Makam Eva is still Aser. Whereas and he says, I don't understand the Drisha, how he said it's mutter. And the Shach supports the Drisha and says, yeah, there are times it should be mutter. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva on this, which we'll quote in a moment, but before the tshuva, Rav Avadya has like a Dvar Halacha Yomi, and there I found, he wrote, that this issur that the Rambam writes has nothing to do with drinking. It's an issur to go there, to be there, right? Even if you say, I'm not going to drink anything, I'm not going to eat anything, you shouldn't be at such a party. Again, understand what we're trying to get out of here. It's not a crazy thing. Why? Because it could lead to something bad. It could lead to something bad, right? People there are all tipsy, and you start talking to them, and so on and so forth. And therefore, Rav Avadya also thinks that this is problematic. There's a long Oruch HaShulchan here. I don't want to spend time on it. I've kept you a little bit too long as it is. And here, the Oruch HaShulchan speaks about this machlokas. Oruch HaShulchan in general, so beautifully, it codifies all different machlokas and say, how do we hold today? And he writes that according to the Rambam, Tzorech Levayer Kol Gezeres Elo, Ve'ena Dumas Zula Zula. They're not the same thing. Mepnei She'ikar HaTamhu K'dei L'Harchik Shelo Yavoli De'Chasmas. Right? And therefore, we have to define in our generation what that is. Who, I don't know, excuse me for saying this, but who cares what the halacha says? What is tachlis today? Right? You say, well, technically it's not usher to go to the frat party. But you know what's going to happen at the frat party. Right? And by the way, obviously, even though the isser is chasinus, if there's something bad going to happen with another Jew, right, obviously that's usher too. So we have to be smart and understand what the isser is today in order to be able to codify it. And he agrees what we had said before. The Orech HaShulchan quotes what we said before in the Chevel Nachlaseinu, that v'chein gam etzleinu, the yayin saraf, which is cocktails, and ikar hamashka mikol makom ein shum zehirus ba, but tam shel davar k'siva Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Tam t'shecha shalano ein kol kach kiruv das. I don't know if that's really true. People don't really get so drunk. It's not. It is kiruv. What are you talking about? I don't know. Just like, why all of a sudden you could be drinking yayin mevushal? That's okay. If it's yayin mevushal, then you can drink it by a guy. So he says there's a difference over here. It's not the same thing. Again, he has other things that we don't have time now. He actually writes down different types of drinks and so on and so forth. Okay. Finally, I want to go crazy and say the last thing, which is so controversial, a lot of people have already walked out. And that is, I am sorry, I can't keep the audience. So that is as follows. Maybe, as I said, like Ravad Yosef says, the issur isn't the drinking part. It's not the bar part. It's not the party part. It's the fact that you shouldn't be in a place where non-Jewish people gather together. And the example given, are you ready for this, is a coffee house. Coffee. Now, Ravad Yosef has a tshuva in Yichav Adaz Chelek Dalet Simen Men Beis, where he first goes to task on, well, wait a minute, is coffee even mutter in a non-Jewish, if a non-Jew makes it for you? Why? You told me before there's an Isser of Bishalakum. Why is this not Bishalakum? Isn't this classic Bishalakum? You can't have the coffee beans raw. I know there are people who eat it now, but we don't normally have the coffee beans raw.
Kosher.
What?
Coffee is kosher.
No, the cooking of it. A guy's not allowed to cook something for you, he said.
Coffee's
nothing to do with kosher.
Coffee's already cooked.
The bean, no. Sometimes you cook the bean. Depends how you make coffee.
In the coffee house, they get it. It's already, beans already.
Okay, maybe, sometimes not. Sometimes they cook it. No, they cook it.
They get right. The bean there and they cook the bean there.
Yep. Yeah.
Starbucks is doing that.
Yeah.
Especially.
The other ones, they have the little granulated thing. You're right. So almost, many, many poskim totally disagree with this concept and say, that's not what's up. Number one, some say because it's all water, really. How much, you have a little bit of coffee, that's not. And some say it's not over Shulchan Malachim, it's another heter. But Ravad just says, no way. He thinks that it's usher. And he doesn't understand why this is something that should be mutter. So he writes here, "V'chein p'saka radbaz b'tshuva mikol makom ein l'shtos kafe b'mesiva shel goyim l'fisha nimshach mizeh harbe takolos." The Radbaz, he said, already wrote that this could lead to really bad things. "V'ein roi l'shtos kadoshim li'os imayim mesiva," saying, "What are you doing there? You're kadosh. Don't go to their parties." "V'chein hamar kish sheyesh l'hachmir shel l'shtos kafe b'mesiva shel goyim." He says, "Wait, I'm extending it. Don't have even coffee in their places," a mesiva said. "But even a Beit Cafe Shalem, Kamo, Starbucks, tea leaf, coffee bean, you know, whatever." He doesn't say that, right? So maybe you can't even drink at Starbucks, assuming that Starbucks is kosher. "Shehu makom mechiraso k'din sheikh shalem." It's not the bar itself that sells the alcohol. It's going to a place where people drink even coffee.
Coffee bean is Jewish.
Right, interesting. Good point. I thought about that. It is Jewish owned. But I don't know if that was right. The question is, would that matter? Going back to my holiday party case. So does that matter that the company's owned by Jews? And right, what's the difference? The role for the people there are non-Jews. Isn't that what it goes by?
In a supermarket there when you go.
You're not drinking. It's not a together place. If you're sitting down, you're eating in the place, according to Rabbi Avadi Yosef, that could be problematic. And Rav Avadya says that people who go to bars and drink with Goyim, Osin Kane, below Ratzon Chachamim, Ve'ein Lahem, Al Mashi Yismichu, Behetr Zeh, Klal Ve'ikar. So I don't understand why people are doing this. You can't go to bars. Again, this is one, I like to be intellectually honest. This is the Rav Avadya Yosef. Okay? Good. There are many that are Mako when it comes to coffee. It's not really, you know, Bishal Akam, I said, over Shul Chachachim, the Piskei Tshuva says it's Mefurish. The Chochmas Adam, which was V'chaya Adam, is quoted by Rav Herschel Schechter, who believes that this is correct, and he thinks that Rav Avadya is correct, and he doesn't say Rav Avadya, he quotes this. The omnam lo asru bazeh el b'machem mechiraso kishkovei asal l'shtois b'beis anachri aval. In the via sheikh, that's okay. That would be mutter if he brings it to his house. Ah, shabbos man hazeh. No akim lahakel l'shtos sheikha. We have to have a b'beis anachri. The aim them chos b'yadam. I don't think this is a good thing. And he says this, and about nefesh yachik mizeh. You shouldn't do this. Don't go to bars. V'chein, ready for this? Kaveh, coffee, v'shokolada, and hot cocoa. Mutter. It's better not to do it. It could lead to znus. And in Cain, call asher bo reach haTorah. If you have a reach haTorah, if you don't, go to the bars, it's fine. But if you have a reach of Torah, yarchik mizeh. You should not bring it home to your house. Don't drink the Starbucks there. Unbelievable. Rav Shechter, I discussed this with him. He said, yeah, I think you shouldn't be eating in a coffee house where there are non-Jews that are present. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you, you know, here's the truth bomb. How do you do business? That's what everybody does. You dafka meet at the Starbucks because you don't want to go to a non-kosher restaurant. And that's the place to meet. Last year, I remember I was sitting in Chicago. It was so cold. I was sitting in Chicago, and I was there for like half a day, and most of my time was spent talking to parents who wanted to meet me. So I got myself down at a Starbucks. I had not to drink coffee. All right, and I was getting, you know, I was getting whatever, those fruity, they have like, you know, the with hashgach on it, like pre-bottled stuff. I was getting that. Had my diet, and unfortunately, Starbucks unfortunately sells Pepsi products. But okay, what are you gonna do? I'm saying that's so bad. But he writes it. Yeah, it's an issue. It's a problem. This is the Darche Tshuva. Also, is quoted in Kufya Dalit. Also, is Maskim and talks about the Beit Cafe. The Shel Shu is Chesed LeAvram, which was a Rav who passed away in Sfat 1749 to I think 1811. Rav Avraham Alkali, I think his name was. So he says the following. It's mutter, right, the Mesiba with Goyim, but the Beis Yosef is Machmer. And many people are Machmer today. And in fact, the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, is a tshuva in Yoredes, Chelek Beis, I think Kuf Yud Zion, where he says that, what about a parlor meeting? Listen to this. What do you guys think about this? Right, and Stucka comes up with a great idea. Stucka says, right, we've exhausted all the Jews. We're going to go to Donald Trump. And we say, Trump, you really want to get in with the Jews? I got a great idea. Do a parlor meeting at your house. Not the White House, in one of his, where he spends more time, one of his golfing houses. So he says, okay, that's a good idea, I'll do it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, should you be doing a parlor meeting in a non-Jew's house for Stucka? So Rav Moshe says, he doesn't like it. Number one, we're not supposed to drink there. This is not, he goes, you're going to tell me there's a heter because it's Arai? But if Dafka, you're putting it together, a Jewish organization is putting it together, so you're being soed, you're drinking in that place, he thinks that that's a problem. Maybe because of Ava, maybe you're going to allow it, but here you're the one doing it. You're putting it together. It's not the guy's inviting you to his house and saying, you know what, I want to write you out a check for $5,000, so I'm going to do this party in my house. No. He thinks that that's also. He says to honor, what about honoring a non-Jew, right? I've been to Chai Lifeline, honored someone, right? Totally not Jewish, because he brought in a lot of money. So the Gemara talks about whether or not we should be doing that, because the Gemara says that it's like a bizoyon to the Jews, that we can't get enough money for our stuff because we have to go to the non-Jewish nations. He said, but if it's not seen as that, it's just the way you do business. So then he said it might not be an issue. Again, Yotze Midvarenu. Yotze Midvarenu. Even the coffee house where Rav Avadya Yosef quotes a posek, Rav Avadya Somach, and the Zivchei Tzedek, who says, if there's Eva, so then you could have it. So I think that maybe that would be mutter. A guy wants to close the deal, and he has to meet you in the coffee house. And you're dafka meeting at the coffee house because you don't want to meet in the kosher restaurant. Right? I live in Israel, and I'm coming into New York. I don't have an office space there. And the guy says, let's meet at the 21 Club. I said, I don't want to go to it. So let's meet at Starbucks. So what am I saying? I have to find, you know, the it happened to be. I once went out. It's funny. I once went out with a customer, a client of mine, and I wanted to go to a kosher restaurant. She worked in a certain area, and there was only like 2-3 kosher restaurants. So we went to the restaurant, and afterwards, she said to me, "I just want to tell you, in the future, if you ever want to do business with me, don't ever take me to a restaurant like this. It wasn't a high level kosher restaurant. It was yucky." And she said, "It's like a yucky place." I didn't lose the business over it, but So maybe Mishum Eva would be mutter. In my humble opinion, going to a holiday party is not the best idea if you know that it's going to lead to something that is not appropriate. However, if it's Mishum Eva, it's what your company does, you have to do that, so show your face there and she marked Goldman. If you could bring your wife, you should dafka bring your wife. Dafka you should bring your wife. Oh, she's going to see that people drink at my office. That's fine. It will not lead you to Aveira. I have so many stories. There's so many stories out there of people who, it's one night at Nebuch, and then you're all of a sudden that frum guy is the talk of the town the next day of what he did or where he acted. As far as my holiday party, I think that maybe it's mutter, not because of Ava. Number one, as a company, we have to do this because we want to show the employees that we care about them. So I think that is important, not to create a chil Hashem. But I also think it's mutter. It's being done in a shul. And I think that the bottom line more is because a lot of heterim are, does Masiyos Hakam even apply? Sheikh Hakam even apply? Right? Is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. What are the facts on the ground? What's going on here? A guy's going to a bar every night. A guy's going to Moe's Tavern, for example. Yeah? You don't belong in Moe's Tavern. What are you doing there? Unless you're on The Simpsons. Right? What are you doing there? Kovea Atzmo? That's not right. I would venture to say, even if it's a Jewish bar, what are you doing there? Right? You walk into Mike's place all the time, like, hey, Steve, how you doing? That's not good. A person doesn't belong there. Yarchik Adam, we have to stay far away from these type of things. And this is very important this time of the year. We have Mishum Eva, we give presents to, we should do that. We want to, that's not an Israel Lo Techanin, because we have to show that this is what people do. Jewish people care, and the mailman is going to ask for a gift, and the newspaper man, if that's what the minhag of the Olam is, of course you give them gifts. You show Akaras HaTov, it's a big midah by the Jewish people. But to go ahead and go out, and this is something you have to consider in the college life, drinking, and there are non-Jews there, you know that this is not the right thing. And if it doesn't feel good, it's probably wrong. And we should be very far away. We should get the lesson from Yosef and the lesson from our great Chashmonaim of the times of Hanukkah, that the way to succeed as a Jewish person is to spiritually stay far, far away from, unfortunately, what is rampant in our society, which is the sexuality and, unfortunately, intermarriage. And those that stay far away from that is the greatest, greatest protection.